It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
As we move into the 4 o'clock hour, it's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by our New England Ford dealers and the Freedom of Choice. Shop deals built for you on the New England Edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox in their last series of the season here at Fenway, and of the season in general, as they've been eliminated from postseason contention. They will kick off that series tonight here on a beautiful night, I got to be honest with you, down in the Commonwealth against these Tampa Bay Rays. And that is all starting tonight. It's also the last weekend of Joe Castiglione games. So make sure you got it right here on WEEI for the rest of the day and night so you don't miss any of Joe's calls. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a minute. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Alex Van Pelt calling this a get-the-ball-out-quick game, to which you, Andy Hart, say, duh, every game's a get-a-ball-out-quick game when you have this kind of offensive line, which we just detailed, I mean, is all banged up in a whole total mess, and not even sure who's going to be out there and who's going to play. But with that being the case, even if they do get the ball out, is that enough? Is that enough to make this competitive here against the Niners defense that is, up front anyway, very strong?
I don't want to alarm anybody in Patriot Nation, but if the stink bugs that are collecting on the screens outside my home studio are any indication, this is a stinky week here in New England, and could be an ominous gesture about the Patriots' chances to win in San Francisco. Like, it just got became a quicker get the ball out of your hands week, right? If we're talking about DeMontre Jacobs playing left tackle, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. It's unlikely that you're going to get, because even if he's physically ready, couldn't we argue the same thing? He's not mentally ready. Like, he just got here. He doesn't know the whole scheme and the lingo and the verbiage and everything. You know, some of the Drake May stuff. He's not mentally ready to get it out there.
Sure.
And I would argue left tackle is a position in a lot of ways is similar to other marquee positions where you can get embarrassed and you can lose your confidence, and it can spiral for the negative very quickly between penalties and getting, you know, a guy does a spin move on you and you just kind of get embarrassed and you're looking back and you know everybody's looking at you and the replays are all on you why your quarterback got killed. So, you know, I think that it's a week where you have to get rid of the ball quickly. Probably I would go back to the more simpler proclamations of Alex Van Pelt and this team. If you can run the ball, you have to run the ball. I said it to you the other day. There is no way you can hang with the 49ers without running for 150 yards, having Ramondre have a 20 for 100 type day, and probably Antonio Gibson chipping in. Like, you got to beat them at their own game. They want to run the football to set up the entirety of their offense for the most part. You need to run the football to set up the entirety of your offense. Then you need to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly. I don't really
running the ball
hear...
is the entirety of their offense.
Yeah, kind of.
That's all there
kinda.
Is.
Well, he left the door open. He's like, yeah, obviously on third down, you're going to have to hold on to the ball and get it. No, don't do that, because that's just bad. But I don't know that I would start with a focus on the passing game, for better or worse. And Gerard Mayo has acknowledged this. The more he looks at his team and its identity, they have to run the football. And you can run on the 49ers. I think they're giving up 4 and change per carry on the season. So you're going to need to do that. That's who you are. It's so simple. And you're putting in a left tackle that the first thing you can say about him is what? He's big. Okay. So ask him to plow out and run over Nick Bosa, right? Don't ask him to try to match athleticism and technique with Bosa or any of their pass rushers. Tell him, see guy, hit guy. Move him downfield. You run behind him. Let's have a simple offense. So I think they have to absolutely ad nauseum run the football. Like, we may get sick of it. You might go three and out. And we might be like, well, three and out. Maybe if you threw the ball. You know, if you throw the ball, bad things are going to happen unless you set it up properly. So they need to just come out and run the damn football.
Patriots' final injury report of the week is out. I don't think we need breaking news for this, but the Patriots have ruled out the following players: Alex Austin, Michael Jordan, and Vedarian Lowe. Vedarian Lowe is out. Jordan is out. Austin is out. Four players questionable: Caden Wallace, Sidy Sow, Jonathan Jones, and Anfernee Jennings. That's about what we expected. Those were the guys who were held out of practice, and now they've been ruled out for Sunday with Caden Wallace and Sidy Sow as question marks. That's not going to make things any easier for this group, but you know, Vedarian Lowe is your best left tackle, for better or for worse. Caden Wallace is probably your second best left tackle, and they're both question marks. Well, one of them's out, and the other one's a question mark. That is going to probably equal a lot of DeMontre Jacobs, and that's the way it's going to be. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones. We'll talk to Tim in Hanover, who has a thought on the Patriots and their short game. Go ahead, Tim.
Andy, you guys are so right, man. They got to run that ball. If they're thinking they're going to be doing the screen thing, that ball is going to be living in that backfield. And then who knows, with the rush that they have to get it all the time as it is, they're going to be tipping balls back there. It's going to be a nightmare for them if they don't try and run that ball. And on the 49ers side, Samuels and Kittle, they've been practicing, so they're possibly going to play, most likely.
Right. We knew that. We knew that about Kittle. I think Samuel's more of a question mark, but yeah, Kittle's probably going to play.
But another caller that always agrees with me. These callers are really, really nice. We got nice callers that call.
Yeah, we do.
It was the same thing last Friday.
Yeah. Last Friday. I mean, it was an Andy Hart love fest on Friday. It was unbelievable. But yeah, that was like disgusting.
I think it was because they felt bad for him that Arcan was on TV and he wasn't, though.
I think, yeah, that probably had something to do with it.
Wow, that was only last Friday? Feels like forever ago, that Jets game and then the reaction to it. Wow, this season could get long in a hurry if things trend in the wrong direction.
Kind of is already. 617-779-7937. John's in the car. Go ahead, John.
Could get long in a hurry. I don't know. I've found this all refreshing. All the cliches that come out of one Patriot place and the lack of wins and the, like, everything. It's been so refreshing. Hey, I enjoyed the defensive coaching staff getting all the microphones yesterday. I don't know what I know the new NFL, you got to have coaches talk more often than the old NFL days. So it's certainly not like the Belichick stuff, but I do find it interesting. You got all these guys talking and you got all these stories pumping out. We had, like, I think every coach was gushing over Drake May and how he looks in practice. The one that I laughed and found interesting was I was reading Mark Daniels, like a pretty decent beat reporter, one of the few that I actually like. He's writing this great article of this coach that was wowed by Drake May, and then said, oh, the next day, I hate you after watching the video. I was like, oh, who's this guy? He's like the new cornerbacks coach who used to be an intern for the Patriots former lacrosse player.
Pellegrino.
Like, so wait a minute.
Yeah,
Pellegrino. So we got lacrosse guys that are all of a sudden amazed by Drake May, and it's like, play him now. Like. What's going on? Where is Stacey James? Like, in all seriousness, the messaging from One Patriots Place is stupid. Like, they are all over the map. They have no messaging whatsoever. You get all the defensive coaches out there. Like, is this Optum that tells you say anything and say everything, or are we actually going to get some clarity from the team and get some messaging that might be, like, consistent? I don't know.
I wouldn't hold your breath on that, John. Thanks for the call. Good call. But yeah, I wouldn't expect there to be a more direct, polished message anytime soon.
So let's dive into this, because I think John is alluding to the same thing we talked about. You know, somebody was alluding to on Twitter that there's whole abundance of positive Drake May practice field talk. These defensive coaches, Wilkins was wowing him. Pellegrino was talking about some specific throw that he just, like, couldn't believe he dropped in the bucket deep down the field. Special, like, talk to him about it the next day kind of thing. Do we believe it? B, is it a good thing even if we believe it. Like, even if he's doing a good job on the practice field, isn't this creating hype and expectations? Don't you just want to say he's developing really nicely and he's progressing toward where he needs to be, more than like, oh my God, this kid's unique. He seems like he knows every scheme. He's dropping balls in the bucket that are, we have a great secondary and they couldn't possibly cover some of the throws that he's making. I almost feel like you're doing him a disservice. You're slow playing him, but also creating hype and buzz that are going to create expectations when he gets on the field.
Absolutely. I mean, there will be expectations. There are going to be expectations no matter what they say, unless they come out and say, you know, he's really not picking it up. But then if that happens, then you're like, well, what are you playing him for? And don't put him out there. I think so long as they're planning on getting him out on the field, which it seems like they are, you know, in terms of all the things that are being said that the caller alluded to and you talked about earlier, I think that that's all buttering the bread of, okay, here we go. Like, this soft launch is going to be happening here. And we have to come up with a reason that doesn't completely throw Jacoby Brissett under the bus, because he's been a good soldier so far. And how can we sort of frame this in a way that makes it seem like he's just been so good in the practice field, and despite Jacoby Brissett being excellent so far this year, we're going to have to go ahead with the kid because he's just wowing everybody so much in the practice field, and we said we'd wait until he's ready, and it looks like he's ready now. That could be part of the framing of it. That could be some truth in that too. Like, I don't think that that's completely ridiculous to assume that a guy who, according to the head coach, had already been the better performing quarterback in camp in the preseason is continuing to outperform as the regular season goes along. Like, that's believable. I could buy into that. But it does sort of fly in the face of this plan, which, you know, Tommy Curran said if the plan went perfectly and was executed perfectly, you wouldn't see this kid at all this year, which I believe him when he says that. I think that that's the way they're looking at it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the 49ers, their beat writers, and the media over there in general panicking right now. Is the team also panicking? We'll find out. And we have our San Francisco 49ers scouting report, which we'll have at 4:30. That's all coming up right after Brian Frazoco. Get you caught up on what's trending.
So we got lacrosse guys that are all of a sudden amazed by...
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Drake Mayo.
Tommy Curran there with Mike Mayoko of NBC Sports Bay Area, I believe is what it's called. He's been a longtime Niners beat writer, beat reporter. He went on to say that there's some, you know, drawbacks, obviously, in the matchup, some obvious ones, which we'll get to here. But with all the injuries, and there are a lot of them, for the 49ers, key players up and down their roster, does that, I don't want to say level the playing field completely, because it certainly doesn't. I don't think anybody's going to call this a level playing field talent-wise, but does it get the Patriots closer to San Francisco from a talent perspective than maybe the 9.5, 10.5, whatever book you're looking at, point spread may indicate?
No, it doesn't. I mean, obviously, Christian McCaffrey is a great player, so not having him out there Hargrave, great player. Debo, sounds like he won't be out there. Those are really good players, but they have other really good players. And I know your first reason to be skeptical about the Patriots' chances is basically coaching. Like, he's not hurt, is he? I'm pretty sure his headset's going to sit on his head, and he's able to talk and call plays in Kyle Shanahan. So, no, I don't think there's this great leveling of the playing field. And certainly it hasn't shown in the books, like 10.5. I opened up my FanDuel. I wanted to see what it said. Still says 10.5 on my FanDuel app. So it's not like they're getting this influx of money on the Patriots. Like, everybody's like, wow, did you see that was injury report for the 49ers? Like, it has not really affected anybody's belief that at San Francisco against Brock Purdy and Nick Bosa and Brandon Ayuk and Mason and Kittle, if anything, they've trended a little bit healthier maybe late in the week with the Kittle thing. So, no, it really doesn't. Other than the obvious, yes, they'd be a little bit better with a couple of these guys out there. It hasn't come close to leveling the playing field, because we know the Patriots, we have a project, by the way, a long-term project. Yeah, I don't know if we have, do we have like an idea board we can put pins in or something?
Oh, yeah, my idea board, my vision board back at home. Yeah, sure. What is it?
We need to do the comparison, because Brian and I, during one of the breaks, were like, how many teams? We know the Patriots don't have a number one receiver. They don't measure up with number one receivers compared to basically anybody. And we know you can make an argument that a lot of teams have two receivers better than any of their one receivers. There's actually a lot of teams. We saw one in Seattle in week two. We see one in terms of Houston. We see one in terms of Chicago that probably have a three receiver rotation that no Patriot could break into. So the comparison of wide receiver depth charts is a afternoon program, host one and host two long-term project we need to do, and just really put into like eye-opening simplicity how bad this receiving core is. Because I feel like the receiving core is kind of skating, because we're all paying attention to the offensive line and we're all paying attention to the quarterback question, and the receivers are just kind of going about their business doing nothing. And I know some people look, you see those next gen stats, you see the separation. No, I don't want to do that. I want to see production. I want to see actual getting open, catching the football, making plays, finding a way, and doing it consistently, not one-offs, which I saw all summer long on the practice field and the preseason field. So that is skating, and that's one area, specifically San Francisco. Do they have three receivers that no Patriot could match up with? I mean, they just had a guy catch a 175 and three touchdowns.
They might have four if you include Ricky Pearsall, too.
Well, that's true.
They might have four guys who are ahead of anybody you have.
And that guy got shot.
Yeah. Has Pearsall been good so far this year? I don't really know. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, because I know he's got shot. But
he hasn't played.
Yeah, he hasn't played at all, right? Okay, I didn't know if it... Because I remember when he was back at practice.
You say that was a dark
joke. Was running around. I mean, he was running around with... I don't know if he was practicing full on, but he was running around out there and didn't seem like it was, you know, that crazy to think he could be back this year. But
they
either
call
way...
his nickname the Bullet.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
No.
Maybe not.
Wasn't that Bob the Bullet something? Wasn't there a famous receiver?
Yeah, there was an old Bullet guy. Tank
Bullet
Dally
Bob Hayes.
Shot too. Yeah, Bullet Bob Hayes. Right, yeah. Right.
Bullet Ricky Pearsall.
Bullet Ricky Pearsall. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
Remember
the
Natural?
Way.
That was a problem for the Natural. That Bullet was stayed inside.
Right.
Ruined.
That's true.
Ruined
off the top of my head, the Houston Texans have a better three wide receivers than you do with Diggs, Dell, and Collins. I would say Seattle definitely does.
The Bears
definitely do, and when Keenan Allen's healthy, and maybe even when he isn't. The Bucks probably, after Evans and Goodwin, who I don't even know is next after that. McMillan, maybe, that rookie they drafted, like he's pretty good.
Okay, but Kendrick Bourne might be able to break into that mix, although I don't know if
could
we
break
include
into
Bourne.
It? Maybe he could. Yeah, I don't know. He's not playing.
He's not on the roster. He's not active. He is inactive. He's not an option right now. So if you disclude him, could DeMario Douglas? Yeah, I don't know. But
I'm not sure about that.
This is how eye-opening it is. People say they need a number one receiver, but they don't have any receivers that can break into some team's three receiver sets.
I said Philadelphia, maybe. Jahan Dotson's their third guy they just got from Washington. His ceiling, I think, could be better than any guy you have, but he hasn't hit it yet.
Yeah, Dotson's been a disappointment so far. He was a disappointment in Washington, but that's another guy who, you know, is the type of guy that the Patriots have been drafting. Like that's sort of what they've been doing. They've been overreaching on these guys in the first and second round, and they end up being kind of Dotson-like disappointments. You know, like that's a good example of that. I don't know if he'd be the exact same situation if he was on this team. And sometimes guys are better in different schemes on different teams with different quarterbacks. Like, all that's true. And all that certainly matters. But there were plenty of wide receivers who came here in New England, got drafted, and couldn't do anything with Tom Brady as their quarterback. So, you know, the rising tide doesn't always lift all the boats. The guy does have to have some talent. They have to be able to function in the scheme that they're in. And the quarterback has to get them the ball. All of those things, I think, are lacking here in New England when it comes to these wide receivers. It's just the talent may or may not be there. We'll see about, you know, Polk. We'll see about Baker. I say so far, I haven't exactly been blown away by either one of those guys. The offensive line's not giving them enough time to get open, and the quarterback's not getting them the ball. Other than that, I'd say everything's great with the wide receivers. But yeah, so far it's been a struggle.
That's why my game plan is to run the ball. When you're done doing that, run it a few more times, and maybe it's time to think about adding a fullback to the mix. Did you hear Jerod Mayo talking up fullbacks today and how hard it's to defend a team that has a fullback, changes everything, use check, he's out wide, he's in the back. Hey, Jerod, maybe that's an idea for your offense. Get a fullback, baby.
I like how it's so hard to defend the one team in the league that uses a fullback. It's like, yeah,
that's,
you know,
a lie.
The Niners, for example, have a, yeah, there's like two other ones, but like seriously, like that's,
Chargers,
if it was so hard to do,
guy.
If it was so impossible, then don't you think the rest of the league would have caught on by now instead of phasing the entire position almost all the way out of the league, which is what's happened here over the last 10 years, 20 years, I'd say.
Genius often walks alone, just like me.
That's true. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. All right, without any further ado, let's get to it. It is time to take a good, long, serious look here at the San Francisco 49ers with this week's edition of the Scouting Report. All right, we start our Scouting Report like we do every Friday with what happened last week. And last week, the Niners fell to 1-2, a bad loss to the Rams. They led that game. The Niners did 21-7 in the third quarter, and then the Rams had a huge comeback late in the game. It was a big game for Juwan Jennings, as he had, as you said, a couple touchdowns, 175 yards through the air. The Niners, Rams, and Arizona Cardinals all 1-2 to start the year, but I think out of all of them, the 49ers, by far, are considered the biggest disappointment to start off, maybe in the entire NFL, the biggest disappointment in the league right now.
Yeah, you did Tom Brady's top five earlier. The fact that the 49ers aren't in it at this point in the year is a problem for the 49ers. They should be a top five football team. I'd probably say the same thing about Philly, but the 49ers that we're specifically talking about, that's a team with Super Bowl aspirations, a Super Bowl roster, and an injury here or there should not derail that early in the year, and it shouldn't certainly lead to, wasn't exactly 28-3, but you have a multi-score lead in the second half against an undermanned division foe. Like, they're down their two best receivers, and you're letting them come back against your supposedly very good defense. That's a bad divisional. It's a divisional loss, and they happen, and we know they get weird and all that crap, but that's a bad loss for them.
Yeah, it really was, and one that I think is going to be part of the motivation for them this week, whether or not they're in their own heads or not, or whether or not the injuries are enough of a problem for them that it ends up really permeating it, is another story here, but I think that that is something that could rear its head. All right, that was what happened last week. This offseason for the 49ers was an interesting one. They lost a bunch of guys up front. Gregory out, Chase Young out, Eric Armstead out. They drafted Ricky Pearsall, who, as we just mentioned, got shot and hasn't played yet. Their second-round draft pick was a defensive back named Renardo Green, who has barely played all that much. Really what this offseason was about for the 49ers was drama. It was drama with Trent Williams, drama with Brandon Ayuk. Both of those guys ended up getting paid, and that is put the drama to the side for now. But if you believe some of the beat writers out there, 49ers got the hot seat turned all the way up, ownership does, on both the GM, John Lynch, and the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, for spending all this money and having this big, expensive roster and having not won a blessed thing since, since the old days there. So that's where they're standing with that right now. Thoughts on the Niners offseason, Andy?
So do you think, so we saw an underperforming Bengals team that had a very drama-filled offseason, not just with Jamar Chase or T. Higgins, but also remember Trey Hendrickson was in on that on the defensive side of the ball. Now we have the 49ers, who had a drama-filled offseason, sort of these contract issues, the I, me type stuff, which I'm not criticizing the guys. They need to look out for themselves and get paid, and that's modern football and business and whatever. But do you think those directly correlate to some of the best teams in football or projected best teams underperforming to start the year?
I think it could, for sure. The big difference, obviously, being that the Bengals did fix that situation with Ja'Marr Chase. Or not, they didn't. The Niners fixed their situation, and the Bengals hadn't fixed their situation yet, is what I meant to say there. That was still out in the open. There was still, you know, kvetching going on. He was pouting on the sideline. That was the whole thing. I mean, that was the whole thing with Chase. Ayuk and Williams got paid, so...
Right,
that drama should be over with.
They didn't take part in a lot of stuff this summer. Like, I just think, you know, as Gerard Mayo says, oh no, he says you get better at football by playing football. You also get ready for playing football by playing football. And a lot of these teams had a lot of players that weren't really playing or practicing football all summer. Probably not a surprise that you then go out and don't play very good football to start the year. Brandon Ayuk is off to a very slow start. Very, yep. very slow start. So And I don't know how well Trent Williams is or isn't playing. I bet you Trent Williams, I'm just going to, sight unseen, say Trent Williams is not playing as well as he has in the past.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the best tackle in the league for years and years. So I'd say it's, I don't know, I haven't watched a lot of Niners games or watched the O-line play that much. But it seems like, yeah, all in all, I mean, they haven't been. They've been the most disappointing team in the NFL so far. And that's with their good players playing. And, you know, you could say McCaffrey's out and Samuel's out. But with the rest of these guys, they should be better than 1-2. All right, players to watch for me, Fred Warner. One of the best middle linebackers in the game. Hufanga, yep. the safety. Jennings, the wide receiver who had the big game last week. And, of course, Mason, the running back, are the main guys, I think, that are going to be on the top of everybody's whiteboard of who to watch out for on the defensive side and who to try and target on the offensive side. Who are you going to be watching for, Andy Hart?
Ayuk, I find this matchup interesting because of the trade. Part of that drama was the trade he could have had to New England and the whatever $100 million offer he could have had from New England and all the guaranteed money. Now he gets off to a slow start, and he's also just due. When you look at what he did last year, the numbers he put up, he's an all-pro caliber wide receiver who's not playing all-pro caliber football right now. I don't believe he's banged up. He hasn't had one of those holdout hamstring injuries or something that sometimes derails early seasons such as this. And you got Christian Gonzalez removed from the injury report.
Yep.
So maybe you see Christian Gonzalez on Brandon Ayuk, something we could have seen on the practice field for the next 5 years, but instead we'll see it on the game field. I think Brandon Ayuk probably has a pretty good day. We've seen receivers have good days against this secondary over the last
yep.
couple weeks. If I were forced to wager, I think I would take a Brandon Ayuk over or a Brandon Ayuk anytime touchdown.
All right, that's fair. I think I'd probably be looking that way, too. Former Patriots or 49ers who are on either team, all of them are on the Patriots. There are no former Patriots on the Niners. There are three former Niners on the Patriots. Can you name them?
Are we counting Bourne?
We are counting Bourne.
Okay, we got Bourne.
Kendrick Bourne, Ron. That is correct.
Kendrick Bourne. Probably can't name the others, then.
One of them is a... they're both... one of them is special teams. One is another player in the offense. The special teams, once you give it away.
Special teams from the 49ers?
Mm-hmm. I have a guess.
Go ahead.
Joey Sly?
Joey Sly is correct.
He's a sly guy.
He's a sly guy. And the other one, yeah. Any guess, either one? Another offensive player? Anybody have any ideas? It's a new player on the team this year.
KJ Osborne, no.
Jamichael Hasty. Jamichael
Hasty. I would have never guessed him.
Played for the 49ers.
I just look at him as like this weird replication or something of Ramondre Stevenson. I just see the number, and it's like, is that 38 or 39? I see dreads. He's a little bit littler. Is this like, Duplicity? No. What was that with Michael Keaton where they kept reproducing Michael Keaton and each version got dumber? And
oh, yeah. What was that movie? Multiplicity, maybe?
Multiplicity. Yeah. That's what I think of as Jermichael Hasty. He's like a multiplicity of Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, and then there was the really dumb one with the goggles and that hat. Like that was pretty funny. Yeah. I enjoyed that movie. I haven't thought of that movie in a long time. Good pull right there. Very good. All right, the all-time... San Francisco, 49ers, New England Patriots, played for both teams' team.
Tully Bantakin.
My quarterback, Jim Plunkett, with Jimmy Garoppolo backing him up, I'd say. Brian Hoyer, you could throw in the mix there as
really
well.
Really put together a nice quarterback depth chart.
Yeah, I guess.
None of them can really play, but you got a bunch of them.
At running back, Mark was a good player. He was not so much for the Patriots, but eventually he was when he got to a place where he could spread his wings a little bit on his third team. By the way, you know, it's not like he jumped from the Patriots right to the Niners or right to the Raiders. He had the Niners in between.
Yep.
And then he got good with the Raiders and finally ended up winning there. So interesting career arc there. You don't see that much anymore. Not much in the way of running backs. You got Travaris Cadet and Mark with the C Edwards.
Mark Edwards
put as the lead back there. Yeah, Mark Edwards.
Nice.
And your wide receiver room, pretty good. Randy Moss, Brandon Lloyd, Kendrick Bourne, tight end, Russ Francis. You got a nasty D-line. Ted Washington, Fred Smirlis, Garen Veeris. I would not want to go up against those guys. And there you go. That is the all-time Pats Niners team. And we close it out like we always do with your thoughts on the city of San Francisco. Have you been there recently, Andy? Any thoughts on the Bay Area and San Francisco?
Haven't been there recently and have heard from Lou Maloney and others talk about how, and some friends that went out there for a business trip, how bad it is, how much it's gone down the crapper and just not safe, abandoned buildings, just because I used to think it was a really, really nice city. Like, I enjoyed San Francisco a lot, whether it was I went out there in college and stayed for like a couple weeks with a buddy, then just trips out there, going to Giants games. But from what I understand, it is not a very nice place to be right now.
Yeah, I haven't been in a long time. I used to go. I had friends who lived out there, too. I had a friend who lived in Oakland and two friends in San Francisco. And I used to love going out there. And I haven't been, so I can't back up what everyone's saying about it. I do feel like a lot of times those things get exaggerated. Like, you know, you're in one bad part. Like, if you're down in Mass and Cass in Boston, you come away with that thinking, this place is gross. And look at all that. You know, look at all this stuff going on here. I don't know if it's like that. San Francisco's tiny. I mean, that's the other thing, is that it's a very, very small place and not a lot of square footage there. And you got Oakland right across the bridge. I don't know if they do or not.
Still hanging out down by Fisherman's Wharf?
The Oakland Coliseum closed up. You see all those people crying last night? All the media people? Everybody was very upset about that.
You see who wasn't crying, though? Ricky Henderson. He's got too much money to be sad.
That's true. That's Ricky didn't bother Ricky. There you go. All right. That is our look at the San Francisco 49ers, the city of San Francisco, and the all-time Pats 49ers team, which is okay. Not great. I wouldn't say it's one of the stronger ones, but there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We've been going Patriots all day long. Literally, it's been Patriots front to back, nuts to butts, and we're going to take a break with that and do a little Celtics talk because Jaylen Brown is ridiculously jacked. I mean, that's really the only way to put it. Like, I have not. He looks like Adrian Peterson. Honestly, like he's about as big and bulky as any player in the league, as any NBA player. Period. Forget about any Celtic or anybody else. I mean, you've seen these pictures. They are jarring. So we're gonna get to that in a little bit. Celtics talk right after this. All right. So young Brian tested me. And said he wanted to question if I'm a rap fan, do I know who this is? Is this the Jaylen Brown ASAP Ferg song?
Ding, ding, ding. You got it.
Aha, okay, thank you. I'd only listened to that song a couple times. And when it started, I was like, wait a minute. I thought it was going to be something like that I recognize or whatever. But I'd only heard it like once or twice. I didn't love it when I first heard it. We played a clip of it on the old show, and I wasn't a huge fan. I heard it again and actually thought it was okay. And I like ASAP Ferg and all those guys. I think they're all, you know, I've been a fan of them for a while. But it was the Jaylen Brown part, I don't know. It's just, it's very, very monotone. It's very kind of boring. Like, I don't know. There wasn't much to it there. But we're not here to talk about Jaylen Brown's music. We're here to talk about Jaylen Brown's body. I mean, really, this is what this segment's going to be about, Andy Hart, because when you see, like, if you saw a baseball player, right, from one season to another, come back looking the way he looked at the end of the season, which, by the way, not exactly like skinny or out of shape. Jaylen Brown's always been in pretty good shape. But if you saw a guy come back looking like that after an offseason, what's the first thing you'd think of if that was a baseball player?
He looks good.
Oh, really? That's the first thing
you'd
think?
Take me down.
No, I would think this fella got to been to Balco or something like that. I mean, that's, and I don't think that guys in the NBA, I think only one basketball player ever has been busted doing like performance enhancing steroid. And I think it was Rashard Lewis back in the day, which I don't know. I don't think that really even helps you that much when it comes to basketball. I mean, if you're a rebounder, a guy inside, maybe. But in general, I mean, doing that kind of intense weight training, you don't often see guys in the NBA doing it. And the only reason I bring this up at all is because Jaylen Brown has been working in the gym, like, obviously, a lot. You know, you look at that, it doesn't just happen. And this is an offseason after winning a championship where a lot of times you don't see guys work that much on themselves and do all that. And he certainly did. He put in the work and he put in the time in the gym and he's come out of it looking like the Incredible Hulk, basically. And I just sort of wonder, like, We're talking about this season, this upcoming season, looking for motivation. You're of the mind that, you know, you don't get more motivation. That implies that these guys weren't motivated last year. He's not going to be motivated by the Olympics thing. Jason Tatum, they're not going to be motivated by that. Jaylen Brown said this is going to be a revenge year. He used those words, revenge year.
He made an entire song about it.
Right, and it was after a season where they won everything. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it's all for show. Maybe it's all an act. That, though, him coming out looking like that's not an act. That's real. That's really what he looks like now. He's backing up what he's been saying so far when it comes to an offseason where he's transformed himself.
Absolutely. Anyone who saw that photo yesterday that was making the rounds of him and Tatum, just a still photo on the practice court with his shirt off, he's jacked. He is absolutely jacked.
Tatum's jacked, and Jason Tatum looks like Adam Jones next to him. Like, honestly. Like,
I don't think Tatum's jacked. He's in good shape.
Jason Tatum's pretty jacked.
Jaylen Brown is absolutely jacked, and Jason Tatum has gotten wider and more muscular over the last couple of years, and that was a whole thing. One of those features from Doris Burke about going to the rim and, oh, how much physicality he can take and all these things. Jaylen Brown, if you believe him and listen to him, he says he put on some muscle last year, and he felt like he was able to play at a higher level, longer, do more things, play, you know, both ends of the floor with equal intensity, pick up guys 70 feet, like all those things that he did. And he felt healthier, avoid, you know, minor injuries, but nothing major. And he felt like the muscle helped him get through a long NBA season. First of all, going back to your... I don't know if it's true or not. You're right. I can't think of a lot of people that have been popped in the NBA for performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah, for like HGH or something. Like, you never hear.
You know what
that
tells me? That they don't want to catch them. Because don't tell me that there are no performance-enhancing drug users in the NBA. There absolutely are. I would be stunned because I think they are in every professional league. I think they're in every college. I think they're in every high school maybe in America. So don't tell me the NBA. That tells me they don't want to catch them. Not
probably.
That they aren't using it.
But the NBA, I'd say, out of all the sports, is the one that probably rewards brute strength the least, if that makes sense. Like, you know, like if you're Shaq, if you're that big, fine.
Sure.
But if you're Jaylen Brown, who's 6'6", and a wing player and is that big, like, you know, like maybe you can bully little guards
but it's not
or whatever,
all about
but he could do that anyway. I mean, look at him. That's brute strength.
No, for him, I'm saying there's steroids with different intentions. There are steroids with intentions for stamina, recovery, HGH,
right,
like things of that nature that I'm guessing in a grueling NBA season with all these guys that talk about load management and how it wears you down and can't play back-to-backs, I'm guessing there's guys that dabble in things to help keep their body on the court and feeling as good as possible. But let's get to Jaylen Brown. He looks great. There is no discounting that. He looks phenomenal. Like, he deserves a magazine cover like Nomar. He should be flexing on a magazine. I don't know. There's not even really magazine covers anymore. Way to date yourself, Andy. But he deserves to be, you know, flexing all over the place. Do you have any concerns about it? Because there's, remember David Boston, the wide receiver who got too big? He was from Ohio State.
Who was on steroids, too, by the way.
Absolutely. Clearly got addicted to it. Clearly had a dysmorphia personality and wanted to keep getting, and it hurt his game. He went from.
And he was a good receiver, too.
Right. And then he just got too big and it hurt. Do you think there's any risk of that? Like, oh, I got bigger last year, so I'll keep getting bigger and I'll continue to get the gains. Or is there a point where you're like, well, no, you're a wing, you're an athlete. I need you to be athletic. I need you to shoot. I need you to do all these things. Maybe adding an inch to your bicep isn't the best thing you need, or an inch to your pecs isn't the best thing to do in an offseason. Is there any concern of that?
I'd say yes. I mean, he's probably put on weight. You know, when you put on muscle like that, it weighs you down a little bit. And he's an explosive player who's an above-the-rim type of player who I wonder if that, you know, may weigh him down a little bit. You don't want to be like a plodding wing. You know, that's not what you want to aspire to. And I'm not saying that's what he's trying to do. Obviously, you saw him doing those underwater workouts and all that crap. He's trying to maintain what he already is while adding muscle to it. But I do think that happens sometimes. You see it. You see guys put on a bunch of muscle weight, and then it slows them down. They're less explosive. They're less dynamic. I mean, that's all very possible. I think when guys get big like that, you know, you think of like the Dwight Howards of the world, or even like LeBron. Like, LeBron was skinny when he first came into the league, and then became this big hulking guy, and that really changed his game. But he's, you know, he's 6'9", and he's driving to the basket. I wonder if that same thing is going to work for Jaylen Brown, who's a good scorer, a good finisher already. Is he going to now try and be one of these bullies who just bullies his way to the basket and gets to the free throw line. Because, number one, he's not a great free throw shooter.
Nope.
And I don't know if all this muscle is going to help or hurt that. I'd imagine probably not help it. But that is something that I wonder about. I mean, he is a very springy kind of bounding athlete, and I wonder if putting on all this muscle mass is going to hinder that at all. I think it's very possible.
Just floating a theory, do you think he did it for defensive reasons at all? Because if Porzingis is going to miss a lot of time, Horford's getting older, are they going to go small ball, put Jaylen Brown at the five, maybe even the four, and he's going to be guarding bigger guys? And remember, in the finals, he went up against Doncic, who's obviously a guard, but he's a huge guard. And yes, Jaylen Brown played well against him in the finals when he was guarding him, but I'm sure he sort of took the wear and tear of that, and that was only a five-game series. He's like, whoa, I'm going to need to put on a little bit more weight if I'm going to be guarding guys like Doncic, or if I'm going to be guarding the fours and fives of other teams.
That's the first thing I thought of, is that, because I do think he developed a post game, and I think he doesn't hate being down in the post. And as this roster evolves, and as Horford and injuries and whatever do become an issue, I think he likes to muscle it up down there.
Does he become the guy who guards Bam Adebayo when they play the Heat? Because I think Adebayo's too quick for Horford, and Porzingis is not reliable enough. Do they put Jaylen Brown on a guy like Adebayo?
Wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me as he and this team evolves. And, you know, that's like diversifying who they are. Like, okay, yeah, I know you guys say we're just two wings, but maybe I can be more than that. And isn't that where his career basically took off last year? Doing more, being more versatile. Like, I think that's where people had the Jason Kidd comment. Like, can you argue that Jaylen Brown is a better all-around player when you bring into account positional versatility and the defensive end of the floor and like all of those things? And maybe he is just trying to expand that part of his game and be like, no, I'm not just going to be a replication of Jason Tatum. He's better at me doing some of these things, like just hanging out in the wing, shooting threes, playing that game. I'm going to evolve into a guy that, yeah, doesn't mind going down in the paint in the low post and banging a little bit. He also might just be like, felt good to put on 5 pounds of muscle, so I'm going to put on 10 and see how I feel and look. And, you know, he's living the good life right now. Right,
yeah.
Just like the company, the championship, the women, the whole thing. He's living a pretty good life right now, and maybe this is just part of it. Look good, feel good, Deion Sanders style.
Yeah, certainly could be. And yeah, I mean, listen, the guy's yoked. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back in the 5 o'clock hour, we will reset on what we saw last night in Thursday Night Football. Bill Watch maybe on still for the New York Giants, not so much now for the Dallas Cowboys, though that could change over the course of the next couple of weeks here. But really what we saw was the importance of having a stud wide receiver. Both teams had him, although the Giants, the neighbors got knocked out of the game with a concussion. But CeeDee Lamb and all around the league, you're seeing the wide receiver play really factor into teams making that next step. Can the Patriots do it? Do they even have the horses to do it? Probably not, but we'll get into that right after this.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.